Wow.
You need an army.
On the official home of the Canucks, Sportsnet 650.
There is one main question.
Why are you guys on the ice?
But also, how can the Canucks win the Stanley Cup?
Go off, young king.
What? Record levels almost of house positivity. What?
Go off.
Yeah.
What?
Oh. 1-2.
Bichette drives it. Deep left field. That ball's going to go. A three-run homer for Bo Bichette.
Gill one. Swinging a high fly ball out to right field. Playable. Margot is underneath it, backpedaling. The runners go back to their bags. Waddy tags and advances to third. Semien comes in to score. 1-1, a line drive up the middle. It's speared on the backhand by Lau. He'll make a throw towards first, not in time. And a run scores.
Swings at the first pitch. Pops it up. Shallow and center. Waving his arms. Semien is underneath it. He makes the catch to finish the ball game.
Here are your hosts, Mike Alford and Jason Brough.
Good morning, Vancouver. 6:01 on a Thursday. Happy Thursday, everybody. It is Halford. It is Brough. It is Sportsnet 650. We are coming to you live from the Sportsnet 650 studios in beautiful Fairview Slopes in Vancouver. Jason, good morning.
Good morning.
Nephew Dom, how are you now?
I want all the meat.
All the meat. What a perfect segue into the business of the show. ShopInterCity.ca, ShopInterCity.ca, your one-stop shop for the best steaks, seafood, chicken. I got pierogies in my order, Jason.
My order came yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Steak, salmon, chicken wings, bacon. Dom, I made you a little keto bag.
No. Thank you.
It's in the freezer outside.
Oh, right on.
Yeah.
Keto bag is also your new nickname.
Keto bag. Yeah. So you can have like you could have a steak sandwich, and by that I mean you can have a steak, and instead of bread, you can have salmon.
We call it steak bread.
Yeah,
that's awesome. So how was the delivery process? Smooth?
Perfect. It came right after I got home from the show yesterday.
Okay, so here's what I want for you all in listener land right now. 6:02 in the morning. Maybe you're drinking coffee. Stop, put your coffee down, and order some meat. Maybe you're in the shower. Stop showering. Put the soap down. Pick up a steak. We've made this so easy. You can go to our Twitter page, at Sportsnet650. There, the loon, you will find the link to shopintercity.ca. Also, and everyone pay attention now, a special promo code, Sportsnet20. Do I need to spell that for you?
Yeah. No, but, well, probably.
Sportsnet 20. Don't spell out 20. Don't do that. You'll get $20 off your first order. Okay? I cannot make this more simple and more better for you. So, shopintercity.ca. Also, we are brought to you by the Dilawri family of Acura dealers. Experience the Dilawri difference today. Visit your nearest Dilawri Acura dealer today. Let's tell everybody what's happening on the program, and then we'll get into our poll question as well. It's a big show on a Tuesday. Mark Spector at 6:30 is going to join us out of Edmonton. We're going to start doing our preview of the NHL season in a very informal way. We'll kick it off with our neighbors in Alberta, and we'll start in Edmonton with a team that has really high expectations for this season, made a lot of big, bold moves, big, bold flavors.
Did they really?
Yeah. Duncan Keith was a big, bold flavor.
Well, Zach Hyman. Yeah.
Yeah, that was a big, bold flavor.
Hyman
too.
Was more bold than Duncan Keith.
I got to stop saying flavors. They have...
What does Duncan Keith taste like?
Salty.
Yeah, that, you know what? That's very accurate. There's a hair in my food.
So many hairs. Duncan Keith, Zach Hyman, they're all aboard now in Edmonton. We also got to ask what the state of attendance is going to be for the Edmonton Oilers, because Alberta is in the throes of its fourth COVID wave.
Here's my impression of Jason Kenney yesterday. Sorry.
Very accurate. That was actually a clip of Jason Kenney. Jason Brough doing Jason Kenney. Mm. They're in nightmare land. It's back to a lot of lockdown procedures. And Jason did the research this morning and found out when the Canucks' first game is of the season, which is important information. Obviously, the Canucks open the season October 13th in Edmonton. Mm-hmm. What capacity are they going to be playing to? the Vancouver Canucks, as far as COVID-related stuff go, I guess have the quote-unquote benefit of opening on the road, and their home opener at Rogers Arena isn't until well into the season. It's not the case for the Oilers.
Yeah, and it's a bad situation right now in Alberta, and we don't mean to make light of it, and we'll talk to Mark Spector about that at 6:30.
And now that we've done the intro of Mark Spector at 6:30 with Edmonton, let's do our poll question day, because it is Oilers and Canucks related. It's the Regal Grooming Lounge poll question. There's that loon again.
Will the Canucks be better than the Flames and Oilers this season? First option, they'll be better than the Flames. Second option, they'll be better than the Oilers. Third option, they'll be better than both. Or the fourth option, they'll be worse than both.
I feel like there's a million jumping off points out of this poll question.
There are. Yeah. There are. I voted for better than Flames. I don't think they're going to be, I think there's a possibility that I think there's a possibility, like a legitimate possibility for every situation here.
Yes. Like that's why it's such an interesting question.
Every option. And frankly, I was just kind of, I based it on last season. I'm like, wow, the Oilers were like well ahead of the Canucks last season, but that was with like a really strong performance from Mike Smith. Mm-hmm. Can you expect to get that type of performance again from Mike Smith? I think the Flames, and we'll get into this later, I think the Flames are really going to miss Giordano. I think they're transitioning from whatever they were before into Daryl Sutter type hockey, but I don't know if they've got the Daryl Sutter type soldiers to play Daryl Sutter hockey. So this is one of the reasons that we're going to talk to Mark Spector today about the Oilers, and hopefully we'll get a Calgary Flames guest soon to talk about the Calgary Flames, because these teams are largely expected to be fighting for playoff spots.
Yes.
Like these teams are, you know, there's Vegas up at the top of the division, and then there's a bunch of potentially really bad teams in this division.
Mm-hmm.
Seattle could be bad because they're an expansion team. Like just because Vegas was good doesn't mean that Seattle's going to be like Vegas. Then there's the three California teams who've been not good. And I don't think San Jose is going to get much better. I don't know how much better Anaheim's going to be. LA, maybe. So there's three automatic playoff spots in this division, and that's why there's two reasons why Canucks fans are excited for this year, and Travis Green is excited, and Jim Benning is excited. Number one, they made some improvements. They think they're improved. And number two, look at this division. Besides Vegas, there's no automatic playoff team in this division. There just isn't. Even the Oilers, who had a great season last season, if they don't get the goaltending, we've seen it before in Edmonton.
There's no bonafide number two right now on paper.
They've still got massive depth issues in Edmonton up front and on the back end.
So visit at sportsnet.ca for the daily poll question. It is brought to you by Regal Grooming Lounge, a 5-star level barbershop experience. Visit them at regalgrooming.ca or visit them IRL. That's in real life. For you olds out there, 415 Hornby Street in Vancouver.
Okay. We are going down there next week. By the way.
I know. We haven't been there in a while. It's good.
You're getting a haircut, you hippie.
All right.
Yeah.
Fine. I've gone in there before with the long hair.
Yeah. And you got a cut, didn't you?
Yeah. They didn't leave it.
And a facial.
I did get a facial that day. It was great. I think I walked in, and I don't think they were expecting that amount of work.
Yeah, there was a lot of hair on the ground.
Right. I think she was expecting a nice leisurely haircut.
Bring out the broom again.
Right. There was just like the suck vac the entire time.
They actually had a leaf blower.
You know what? Let's just put it outside. Why keep it inside? So 6:30, Mark Spector. 7:30, goalie for your Vancouver Whitecaps. Goalie for your Canadian men's national soccer team. Maxime Crépeau is going to join us on the program.
Has he played for Canada recently?
Yes, in the Gold Cup.
Okay.
Remember, he stopped the penalty against Mexico in their knockout round loss, where they lost in extra time.
But he's not the starter in World Cup qualifying.
He has not played a minute in World Cup qualifying yet. I expect him to maybe make his appearance in this next round of qualifying. I wonder if they'll throw him in against Mexico again. He's got a pretty good track record.
Good luck.
Yeah. So we'll talk to him. There's lots to talk to him about. This really exciting Canadian men's national team, of which he is a pretty integral part. What he's doing with the Vancouver Whitecaps was very close with recently dismissed manager Mark DeSantos. They kind of came over from Montreal together. And then Max obviously went on to become, I would say this season, the Whitecaps' best player. all due respect to the recently acquired Ryan Gauld, who has been fantastic, but Max has been there, tip to tail. He's been great. So we'll talk to Max Crapo, goalie for the Vancouver Whitecaps, at 6:30, or sorry, 7:30. 8 o'clock, it's Dan Murphy, Sportsnet's very own. He'll be joining us to talk all things Canucks as we inch closer and closer to the start of the preseason.
Is it officially hockey season with the return of Murph?
I think so.
It's getting close, at least.
That or the return of Shorty not answering our phone calls.
Right.
Yeah. That would be the official return. Yeah. Hockey is back. But yeah, Murph will be joining the show at 8. So again, working in reverse, 8 is Dan Murphy, 7:30 Maxime Crapo, 6:30 Mark Spector. As for what's on tonight, yes, Monday night or Thursday night football. And then you look at the matchup, you're like, no, it's the Giants in Washington.
Ugh.
Just, I mean, yuck. I don't know. Yeah. I, as a Saquon Barkley fantasy football owner, I'm not even excited about this game. But hey, it's Thursday night football.
But I bet it'll get massive ratings.
It
will. Just because it's the Giants in Washington.
And it's still early. Hope springs eternal when the worst you can be is 0-1, which both these teams are, as a matter of fact. Okay, that's it. That's what's happening today. Dom, let's tell everybody what happened.
Hey, did you guys see the game last night?
No.
Oh, what happened?
I missed all the action because I was...
We know how busy your life can be.
What happened?
Missed it?
You missed that?
What happened?
What happened? Also brought to you by shopintercity.ca. Visit them now. Steakhouse quality meals available for delivery to your door. Right now, you can get $20 off your first order with promo code SPORTSNET20. If you want a clickable access to this, just go to our Twitter account at Sportsnet650. What happened last night? Jays win yet again. A remarkable run. A terrific September continues, thanks in large part to the heroics of Bo Bichette and Robbie Ray. Bo Bichette, 5 RBI yesterday, matching his career high. But the star of the show, Robbie Ray, 13 strikeouts over 7 innings, to claim the Major League strikeout lead. So we'll take a moment away from the game itself to talk about this now. Vladdy Guerrero is flirting with the Triple Crown, although Sal Perez out in Kansas City is going to have something to say about that. Under any other circumstance, a Triple Crown winner is going to win the MVP. This year it's not going to happen because of Shohei Ohtani. Yeah.
What if there's a guy that's a good hitter and a good pitcher at the same time?
Then you got a problem if you're Vladdy Guerrero. However, under normal circumstances, the Jays would have the American League MVP. And right now, Robbie Ray has got a real good shot at winning that Cy Young. He leads the majors in strikeouts. He leads the American League in ERA. And he's playing on a playoff team. That formula right there.
We'll see.
Well, right now, they're in a playoff spot.
There's also four guys. Well, two guys have already hit the 100 RBI mark. And Marcus Semien is 6 ribbies away, and Bo Bichette is now just 7 ribbies away. Mm-hmm. Team would have 4 guys with 100 RBIs, and they're in a battle to make the playoffs.
Yeah, and Robbie Ray went a long way in helping them in that playoff battle. They got a day off today, and then they go on a huge stretch, 10 games, 7 of which are against the lowly Minnesota Twins. But last night, Robbie Ray, 13 Ks. Here's what the final one sounded like. Dom, let's hear the call.
Runner at first, the 1-2 pitch, swing and a miss. He struck him out. A baker's dozen for Robbie Ray. 13 strikeouts through 7 superb innings from Robbie Ray. The Blue Jays have a 6-1 lead, and in downtown Toronto, it's time to stretch.
That was the only run that Ray allowed. Penn allowed 2 runs, whatever, 6-3 win. So Ray has now allowed just 1 run and 4 hits. Or last night, that's his 4th straight win. I mean, here's the thing about the Jays right now. Aside from that shutout loss a couple nights ago where they actually sprayed the ball around the field decently, but they didn't get any hits for it, everything continues to click. The bats are going, and when one bat isn't going, another bat is going. Ray continues to pitch at an elite level, and the strikeouts are what kind of sets him apart because, I mean, I don't think I'm explaining anything new to the baseball fanatics out there, but when you strike a guy out, you limit base runners. And when you limit base runners, you limit the opportunity for teams to put up any sort of runs.
The problem is 3-way tie right now for that final wild card spot mm-hmm. with the Yankees and the Red Sox. The Yankees have won 3 in a row. beat the Orioles last night. I watched a bit of this game in dramatic fashion. Looked like the Orioles.
You watched it in dramatic fashion?
I watched it in dramatic fashion. I was like, dun, 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 hit the remote.
Clinging a pillow.
The Orioles nearly won it, I meant to say, in dramatic fashion. They went up 3-2 late on a home run, I believe. But then the Yankees came back and won it. So they've now won 3 in a row. The Red Sox have won a couple in a row. They beat the Mariners, and the Mariners are pretty much out of it now, I would say. I mean, they need a real miracle.
We talked to Dave Softy Mahler from KJR Sports Radio in Seattle yesterday, and he sort of casually acknowledged that this might be too big of a mountain to climb for the Mariners now.
The Mariners are 4 games back of the 3-way tie. So they've got a bunch of teams to go. Well, they've got 3 teams they would have to leap in the standings in order to make the playoffs. So I think that's fairly unlikely. We got a text into the Dunbar Lumber text line at 650-650. It's from Daniel and Comox. How are you two going to deal with all the Blue Jays coverage if they make the playoffs? I got no problem with all the Blue Jays coverage if they make the playoffs.
We're not those guys.
No.
We weren't those guys with the Raptors either. How are you going to deal with Toronto coverage being crammed down your throat?
We are a bit with the Leafs coverage, but that's mostly just because the Leafs are fun to make fun of. But
also,
you're a big Raptors fan,
yeah.
and I think we're both Jays fans. And I think this team right now, it would just be kind of boring to just be like, oh, Toronto. Like, it's a fun team. Look at this team. That was the same with the Raptors. Like, I'm not a big Raptors fan, but I liked that Raptors team that won the championship. Like, how could you not? They were hardworking team that like did everything right and won a title. And this Blue Jays team, look at this team. They're loaded with talent. They're fun to watch.
I will also add on that I don't oppose the coverage if it's deserved and earned. The Raptors team that was quote unquote crammed down our throat a couple years ago
won the title.
So they did that. That was a thing that they went out and did on the basketball floor. They were the best basketball team in the world. So, yeah, they can get the coverage that they require. This Blue Jays team is grinding their way in with a series of wins and doing it in impressive fashion. When we get bombarded with Leafs coverage, I go back to when are they going to do something tangible on the ice that would reflect this coverage of this terrific team? When I see them talking about this could be the Leafs' quote-unquote last dance, in a reference to the Chicago Bulls, I'm like, when did they start dancing?
Who said that? Their last dance.
You didn't see that? That was a TSN.ca piece. And that was in the headline, quote, Leafs preparing for their last dance season. Now, I know that it's an easy narrative that everyone can reflect. I think everyone saw that documentary during the throes of the pandemic. But I'm like, what? They're like, well, you know, this team might not be back in the same form. And I'm like, yeah, because they keep losing. They have to blow it up eventually if you keep losing. It's not like they've got this like trophy case stuffed to the brim. Anyway, that's the big difference there. Sorry, I got on a rant.
I mean, the Jays haven't done much lately.
No, but they're winning their way into the playoffs, right? With the Leafs.
Making the playoffs is a little harder in baseball.
It's not all that difficult for the Leafs because they make the first round every year. And then what do they do then? They promptly bow out of the playoffs.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm on a rant.
Okay.
It was a quiet night sporting wise. Oh, sorry. Can we play the Bichette audio on Robbie Ray? I just want to focus on this for a minute because, as we all know, the other part of this Robbie Ray story is that he's a pending UFA, and old tight pants is going to make a lot of money on the open market should he get there.
Yeah, I hate to bring in like the house of negativity angle, but if the Jays don't make the playoffs, or even if they make the playoffs and they lose in the one game series, that's what a waste.
It's falling short of expectations at this point.
This team is not just a big story in Canada either. They're all over the front page of ESPN.com. If you go there, people are realizing how exciting this team is. I nearly said special, but I think that would be maybe taking a little bit too far, but
very
I think
Toronto just, media.
Just their collection of talent. I also like that they do have a bit of an Achilles heel. Like, they've got great hitters, and they've got a great starting rotation, assuming everyone stays healthy. And while the bullpen is slightly improved over last season, there's still that narrative going forward, right?
Sure.
And they still have a bullpen that's not, you're not like, that's the strength of the team. We're like, no worries about this bullpen.
Well, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I kind of brought that up with Shai Davidi when we were Sportsnet's MLB Blue Jays analyst, when we were talking to him yesterday. And I was trying to infer, without saying it directly, like a little subtlety in my questions, that I find a team constructed as the Jays are a more entertaining unit, entity, than, say, the Rays. Where I feel like the Rays are a bunch of nameless, faceless automatons out there.
Yeah.
Almost robotic.
It's analytics baseball.
But, like, I, you know.
Oh, it is. And there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with that.
But the pitchers shouldn't even have names. They should be named leverage arm number one.
Yeah.
Leverage arm number two. That's what it should say on the back of their jerseys. Because they're out there to do one thing. Pitch one inning. And then, regardless of how good or bad that inning goes.
They're out.
Get off the mound. Yeah. And then Robot 2 comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Like I like a team that has a little bit more personality than that. And
the Jays might be forced to like leave their starters in because they're terrified of what might come in.
But that's a beautiful flaw.
Robbie, can you pitch a little more?
Flawed is beautiful.
It's the 12th inning.
And I'm so tired. Like Jack Morris back in the day. They're like, Jack, you're going out for the 13th, right? But
you're damn right I am.
Jack Morris smoked a cigarette and went out there for the 13th inning. But I agree with you that they're not a perfect team, and that makes them more interesting to watch. Now, let's get to this audio real quick. One star from last night, Bo Bichette, talking about another star, Robbie Ray.
Yeah, he's just in attack mode all the time. He's super fun to play behind. He's aggressive. He's not scared of anybody. He's fearless. You know, he just attacks guys. Obviously, he's got great stuff, but his mindset and approach and everything, he's no fear, which is, you know, awesome for everybody to see and learn from, too.
I also like a pitcher that goes up there and tries to gas guys, right? I think, like, I'm one of those guys, old school baseball, where they used to hang the Ks in the outfield every time you got a strikeout. Roger Clemens going for, like, 18, 19, 20 strikeouts.
Yeah.
Right?
And yet you'd have to hang the third K backwards so it doesn't look KKK.
I don't respect a pitcher whose sole purpose is to have them put ball grounders in play. Grounder outs are cheap. Earn your outs. Kids, pitchers, throw your arm out.
Throw your arm out, yes. Throw it right out of the socket.
My kid he played baseball this summer in the All-Stars, and there was a kid on his team. In a six-inning game, he struck out 11 batters. And I was talking about that on par with, like, Clemens, Doc Gooden. I'm like, and I once saw a 10-year-old kid strike out 11 batters in a six-inning game. But it was awesome to watch. Like, a kid was unhittable, and you're just gassing people. And I'm like, that's pitching. Grounders into the infield, that's not pitching. That's just letting your infielders do the job.
There are some hardcore baseball fans that are just like, I hate
hair.
This.
Ripping their hair. Now, here, keep in mind, I also understand the fallacy of my thought process here. But that's, I want my pitcher throwing gas, trying to strike out as many guys as he can.
And pitching for as long as he can.
Yeah, minimum 12 innings in the playoffs. Like, if it's going extra innings, no relievers. Don't get that guy up.
We're going to turn to hockey in the next segment with Mark Spector, a Sportsnet reporter who covers the Edmonton Oilers. Our poll question today, the Regal Grooming Lounge poll question. Will the Canucks be better than the Flames and Oilers this season? We got four options. Better than the Flames, better than the Oilers, better than both, or worse than both. Right now, there's been almost 300 votes. Two options are very popular. Better than the Flames and better than both.
Interesting. Are the two that have emerged.
A fairly optimistic Canucks Twitter voting on this poll question. Just 1.6% of you are saying they'll be better than the Oilers, but not the Flames. Weird. Which I don't think so. Like...
I find both Alberta teams very unpredictable right now.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But so are the Canucks,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, I think the Canucks are totally unpredictable as well. I think it would be very rare for Canucks fans, and that's most of them who follow this account, to power rank Calgary at the top. I could see them power ranking Vancouver at the top, and I can see them power ranking Edmonton at the top, but I just don't see them going Calgary, Vancouver, Edmonton, or Calgary, Edmonton, Vancouver. And that's what the poll questions suggest. Now, there are 12% that say, yeah, it's going to be like last year and the Canucks are going to be worse than both. But I think the Canucks have improved. I think the Oilers, they've improved if Mike Smith is as good as he was last season.
We keep hoping.
Yeah, I mean that could be the slogan of the Edmonton Oilers. I think the Calgary Flames, I think the Calgary Flames may have taken a step back,
potentially
with the loss of Giordano. With all due respect to Blake Coleman, right? I think losing Giordano, man, there's going to be a lot of pressure on Noah Hanifin now to be that number one defenseman. And like, I know they've got a couple nice defensemen there, but I think Giordano, and I said it a few times, I think the Flames missed their window when Giordano was that elite defenseman in the NHL.
This is the kind of game day coverage that we provide here at Sportsnet 650. The Canucks don't play the Oilers until October 13th, but we'll preview it next with Mark Spector, Sportsnet Edmonton on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. On a Thursday. Happy Thursday, everybody. Halford Brough, Sportsnet 650. Halford and Brough of the Morning is brought to you by the Dilawri family of Acura dealers. Experience the Dilawri difference today. Visit your nearest Dilawri Acura dealer today. North Shore Acura, Acura of Langley, Burrard Acura on Terminal Avenue. This first hour is also brought to you by Shop Intercity. shopintercity.ca. That's the website. Special promo code, SPORTSNET20. Do I need to spell that? SPORTSNET. And then a 2, and then a 0. Don't spell out 20. It won't work.
At checkout.
That's correct. Do that at checkout. What are you checking out, you might ask? Steakhouse quality meals delivered directly to your door like they were to Jason Brough's store yesterday.
And then Dom got a piece of it because I'm so nice.
All you need from the world of steaks, seafood, poultry, everything. Check them out, shopintercity.ca. Okay, to the phone lines we go. We begin our tour around this division and where the Canucks might fall in it. Mark Spector from Sportsnet now on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650. Good morning, Spec. What's going on?
Oh, just thrilled to appear on this show with you two. I'm just trying to get over it at this point and realize I'd reached such a level of fame.
Spec, I don't think we've seen each other for like years now, because Mike and I don't travel on the road, and we used to see you at the draft. We'd see you at the Stanley Cup Finals. Yeah. It's been a while now. What have the Oilers been up to?
Anything in particular?
So this and that. You know what? They've been up to lots during the regular season and not so much in the playoffs, guys. I don't know if you noticed.
We did, yeah. Yeah, it was such a disastrous season for the Canucks last year. Like, it was right from the start. It was bad, and there was bad hockey. There was the COVID outbreak. When it was finally over, we were all kind of like, oh, thank God, that's over. Our wins last season were the Oilers choking in the playoffs and the Leafs choking in the playoffs. That, like, it was pathetic, like, it's petty, but those were our wins last year. The Edmonton Oilers made some, I would say, interesting moves this offseason in bringing aboard Duncan Keith and Zach Hyman. They did have some losses, some surprise losses. Adam Larson going to Seattle. What are the expectations for this team this season, and can they match those expectations?
Yeah, it's what you're talking about. The Leafs, the Oilers, and the Leafs, frankly, the regular seasons are, you know, we'll watch them with interest, but we're looking forward to April. Nothing the Oilers, unless they fall flat in their face and miss the playoffs or something, really anything the Oilers do in the regular season, any new feats of grandeur by Connor McDavid, which, you know, they just keep coming. All of that stuff's fun to watch, but none of it's going to mean anything. They got to win playoff series now. You know, they've been second in their division 2 years in a row. They were 12th in the NHL, then they were 11th in the NHL in Ken Holland's first 2 years, and they've improved their team, in my opinion. I think they should be somewhere in the top 10, and all of that's awesome. But after two consecutive playoff failures. You know, you've got to follow that pattern where the team that learns to lose in the playoffs now learns to win. And that's exactly where the Oilers are. It's time to win in the playoffs, guys. Regular season is quasi-meaningless at this point.
Are you surprised that they have the same goaltending duo in Mike Smith and Koskinen?
Yeah, I am. And it's mainly because Ken Holland's been in the market for 2 years trying to make it better. You know, you'll remember he was all over Jacob Markstrom last summer. His issue is very clear. Because of his cap situation, he's got to move in order to get a new goalie in here. He's got to move Mikko Koskinen at $4.5 million, right?
Yeah.
They're not in a position with their roster to bury Koskinen in the minors and eat $3.5 million on their cap. They're just not in that position. So here's what I would say about Holland. If he was sitting there doing nothing and didn't have a goalie, I'd say, come on, get a goalie. He went out and Connor McDavid was playing with Dominic Cahoon and a cast of others on his left side last year. He went out and got Zach Hyman. You know, that's a huge improvement. They found themselves with an excessive right shot defenseman. They moved a smaller guy in Ethan Bears, a nice player for Warren Fogle, they absolutely need size and depth in their bottom six. That was a good move. They found themselves in need suddenly at the deadline because Adam Larson chose Seattle, despite having been offered a nice contract in Edmonton. And they found Cody Ceci, who's, I'm not saying he's a great player, but he's a nice replacement as your number four. They brought in Duncan Keith. There's a lot of debate over whether he can play. You know, we'll find that out. But my point would be this. Yes, he hasn't scratched the goalie itch. There's no doubt. And he has to, and he's still trying to. And by the trade deadline this year, I bet he does. But we know the reason for that. There's $4.5 million reasons it's made it hard. And he has improved his team on other fronts. So I guess I wanted to give the GM a little bit of a pass on that. Is that fair, or am I being too easy on the guy?
I think it's hard when you're the general manager of the Edmonton Oilers. I mean, attracting players to Edmonton has been difficult.
It's hard.
It's hard. I mean, even Calgary, Brad Treliving was kind of bemoaning that a little bit and saying that, well, I don't want to make excuses and we won't make this as an excuse, but lifestyle-wise, players are choosing other cities and also tax reasons. But I will say that I still look at this Oilers team, and this is an outsider perspective. Feel free to push back on this, and I see depth issues still in the forward group. The third and fourth lines, with all due respect to Warren Fogle, I don't know how they're going to look on the third and fourth line. And I see issues on the defense. You like Darnell Nurse on the top pair, and they brought Tyson Barrie back, and he's going to run a good power play. But you got what's the second pair going to be? Duncan Keith and Cody Ceci, and the third pair maybe Chris Russell and, I don't know, Evan Bouchard. Like I would look at that blue line, and I know there are potential issues with the Vancouver blue line. I would look at that blue line and say, Duncan Keith better be pretty good there.
Well, that's fair. Like, you know, Duncan Keith's going to be a real fun story here because all the numbers people, you know, his numbers in Chicago the last couple of years haven't been very good. But I would, you know, I've talked to people there who watched him every day. He's their number one defenseman on a not very good team that bleeds chances and plays in front of very subpar goaltending over the last couple of years. So when you're the defenseman that gets tossed over the boards all the time on that team, right?
Yeah, and they didn't play defense. Like their whole system. Like, this is an unpopular opinion in Vancouver because Duncan Keith once cheap shot at Daniel Sedin pretty aggressively. But Duncan Keith, for me, is like one of the greatest defensemen that I've ever seen play, whether it's the Olympics, whether it's the Stanley Cup playoffs for the Blackhawks. Like, I think he should have two Conn Smythe trophies, not just one. But, you know, everyone gets old, right? And
hey, that's fair. That's fair. And you know, this is the question, right? Now, he'll play less minutes in Edmonton, right? Because he's going to be a second-pairing defenseman here. Mm-hmm. He will play, he doesn't have to play in the power play here. So, you know, that will save him a little bit. So, you know, and as Connor McDavid said the other day, this guy's played in every big game there is to play in. And if we're talking about a team who's reached the stage where they're really good at all the small games, but they can't seem to win the big games, I'm not here to tell you that it's all about intangibles and you can just be a guy who did it 10 years ago. You got to be able to play now. I buy that. I get that, right? But Duncan Keith is one of the big game players of our generation, right? In Team Canada, Chicago Blackhawks. He's been there. He's done it. Could the Oilers use a guy that's done those things? I'd say they could use a guy. As long as he can play as a solid second-pairing defenseman, which I believe that he can. I think in the end, you know, we'll be talking in December, guys, and that acquisition will be viewed as a good one.
We're speaking to Sportsnet's Mark Spector here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650, beginning our pregame preview of the Canucks-Oilers game on October 13th. Just a bit of a ways away, but Spec, I wanted to ask you, where do things stand with regards to fans, capacity, everything involving the Oilers? Because again, it's a little bit of a different situation to open the season than it is in Vancouver. The Canucks open with the 6-game road trip, which of course begins in Edmonton. Edmonton's going to be at home right from the get. We all know about the current COVID situation in Alberta. Have the Oilers addressed this at all? Do we have any idea what the building is going to look like when the season opens on October 13th?
Well, last night, the Premier, Jason Kenney, came out and listed a whole bunch of restrictions. We're a mess here in Alberta. Our government has fumbled this ball more than any provincial government in the country, unquestionably. So you're asking me to kind of look into a bowl of scrambled eggs and, you know, find you an omelet here.
Right.
Here's what I know. The Oilers have already set up a situation where you need to be double vaxxed or provide the 48-hour, I believe it is, negative test. Right. So in the stuff the previous restrictions you can get around if you're double vaxxed or if you have this card. So reading between the lines, I think that the Oilers and the Flames are still going to be okay, you know, providing that they'll stick with their system where you got to be double vaxxed or have your so I think they're looking at putting 18,000 people in here, gentlemen. That's what I think. Yes.
Okay. Very interesting. Well, we got a ways before we get to that, but we eagerly anticipate the start of this NHL season. Spec, we want to thank you for taking the time to do this today. We really appreciate it. Be well, be safe over the next little bit. Let's do this again as we get closer to October 13th.
All right, boys, you got my number.
Sounds good. Thank you.
See you, Spec.
Mark Spector from Sportsnet here on the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650.
The Oilers will very much be an interesting story to watch, even as a Canucks fan. It's funny, like we had that whole interview with Speck and we didn't even mention McDavid really. Like it was kind of like, yeah, he's going to do his thing and so is Draisaitl probably, mm-hmm. but it's beyond them, right? It's will Zach Hyman be worth the gamble, mm-hmm. even though they gave him the type of contract that has blown up in a lot of cases. Like he's approaching 30 years old. They gave him a pretty big cap hit and term. Was it a 6-year deal? $5.5 million, something along those lines.
It was pretty significant term and some pretty significant money for Hyman.
They re-signed Ryan Nugent-Hopkins to kind of a similar deal that Zach Hyman got. Nuge is only a year younger than Hyman.
Nuge is under contract until 2029.
So those contracts, those are the types of contracts that you sign and go, yeah, they might get ugly in the end, but we hope to have a few good years of production, right? Mm-hmm. So if you make the conclusion then, it's this year, next year, and the year after are huge for the Oilers. Like they're massive because if you get to the point where they still haven't gotten over the hump, Connor McDavid's going to get really frustrated. And so hockey fans are going to get frustrated that we won't see this guy playing in big games. We have this conversation all the time. What's the biggest game that Connor McDavid has ever played in? Is it a second-round playoff game? Is it a World Juniors game? Really?
So Connor McDavid in frustration, that's an interesting one because I want to talk about, on the other side, what he said in his preseason media tour about the referees needing to call the rule book and what that might look like beyond Oilers games and league-wide. We'll do that next. But before we go to break, tell them about ZLC, Jason.
The official financial sponsor of Halford & Brough is ZLC Financial. ZLC's scope is really second to none. They're a one-stop shop for all your financial advice. They're experts in tax planning, financial planning, employee benefits, wealth accumulation. The list goes on. To learn more, visit ZLC.net. And remember, advice is only as good as the person you ask.
.650 on a Thursday. Happy Thursday, everybody. Halford & Brough, Sportsnet 650. Just finished speaking with Mark Spector from Sportsnet Edmonton about the Oilers. They, of course, will be the Canucks' first opponent of the year. We weren't really doing a game day preview a month ahead of the game, but we're going to slowly integrate a look at this division. And remember, it's not the all-Canadian division anymore. We go back to the old divisions. But we don't really go back to the old divisions because Arizona's not in anymore. Is it making sense?
Seattle's in.
That's right. So look at the Edmonton Oilers. Now, some really interesting news, well, sort of interesting news, from the Oilers camp was that Connor McDavid, in his NHL preseason media car wash, said...
That's a media tour.
Right. And he said that referees need to, quote-unquote, call the rule book. We need more consistency. The rules are there. Call them. Now, this is interesting because I do think that there's something when the best player in the league comes out and says this. I think there will be a tangible effect.
People complain about the refereeing every time the playoffs roll around, but for us, our job is to kind of measure when it reaches a critical mass. Mm-hmm. And I think it did in some ways. The NHL is clearly going to have a crackdown on cross-checking, but that's just one area, right?
Yep.
Are they going to call it a little tighter, at least to start the regular season, when you've got arguably the NHL's best player in Connor McDavid complaining quite openly about it? And here's his quote: "The rule book's there for a reason, and you want to call it with integrity. If you let guys get away with certain things, they're going to keep getting away with it. It's a tough job the referees have, and it's something that I don't envy. But, you know, he's obviously saying, call the rule book. That's your job." Ken Holland, the Oilers general manager, had another pretty strong quote here from Connor's perspective. "It's unbelievable how he continues to get fouled and how he continues to battle through it. He's so talented that obviously the other team has to check him. It certainly is a surprise that he doesn't draw more penalties." And I think, look, who was the guy that just got away with a blatant... Was it Mason Appleton in the Jets-Oilers series?
Yes. That right. Short-lived Jets-Oilers series. Yeah.
Right.
One of the many, but that and was probably the most egregious.
And it just stands out for me, right? Like, it was just... It was... It looked like not quite old clutch-and-grab NHL, mm-hmm. where guys were allowed to water ski and, you know, if the guy didn't fall down, it wasn't a penalty. That's yeah. the way it used to be. If it was hooking, the guy better fall down. And if it was holding, he better be spun around or just not allowed to move. They cracked down on that coming out of the lockout, but it has slowly crept back into the game.
Now, it's interesting that you bring up comments from McDavid, the player, and Ken Holland, the general manager, because the coach, Dave Tippett, had a Q&A with Mark Spector, who we just talked to a little while ago. And the interesting thing there was that Tippett said, for playoff success, we can't be this kind of team that only scores goals off the rush and on the power play. I mean, the exact quote is, you have to be able to score off the cycle, hard goals.
Yep.
And those guys I just mentioned, meaning Zach Hyman, Warren Fogel, they're all players who will enhance our group in that part of the game. So I think Tippett is giving a nod to, it's fine if we say these things at the beginning of the season about cracking down on fouls.
But Tippett has been around.
He knows that when you get into the playoffs, it's going to be the same old thing.
Yeah.
That Connor McDavid is going to be wearing a blanket made of opposing defensemen. So what do you do?
Now 1 year, maybe the NHL refs will call call it a little tighter in the playoffs.
You think?
Not really.
No,
but I'm just saying, my point is maybe one day it'll happen, but I wouldn't bet on it.
So you got to adjust. You got to make wrinkles to your game.
What has happened to Zach Kassian, by the way?
He's still playing hockey.
No, I know. He's still on the Oilers.
Yeah, he's still there. He's just hanging out.
But he's the type of player that when the Oilers did have that kind of limited success in the playoffs, he had some big games for
them.
And
they paid him for it.
Yeah.
And that may end up being a mistake because they had to go out and add more players to bring what they thought Zach Kassian was going to bring them in the playoffs. Now, you could be said that with other guys doing that job, Kassian might be even more effective in a limited role. But, you look at that contract, and, that contract would be, I would say, that's a problem. That you have a 30-year-old right winger who doesn't do a whole heck of a lot during the regular season, getting paid $3.2 million annually.
2 goals in 27 games last season.
They paid him to that could do those kind of things, thereby limiting his role. It's a vicious cycle in Edmonton. It often is. And we got a lot more to get to on this program. 7 o'clock hour, we're going to be joined by Whitecaps netminders Max Crapeau. I almost called him Zach Crapeau, which would have been wrong.
That's his brother.
You saw Max play for Canada at the Gold Cup. You see him play almost every game for your Vancouver Whitecaps. We'll talk to him at 7:30. 7 o'clock, we got an open segment. Start getting your What We Learns in. Dunbar Lumber text line 650-650. Hashtag it WWL. What did you learn over the last 24 hours in sports? Let us know. It's your chance to be on the radio. Lots of time to have user listener submissions on the air. It's your chance to be on the radio. It's the Halford and Brough Show, Sportsnet 650.